877-500-5266. And by making that $10 a month donation or greater, you will know that you are making a difference. We will know that you are with us and that you are fighting the fight along with us. And it's a good idea to just think about donating the equivalent of about an hour's wage a month. So if you're making $50 a month, $50 an hour, we would love to have a $50 a month donation. And you could just think, well, it's just that 1 hour. I'm just donating that to my community. I'm donating that to the world to make it a better place that we can make it together. Call us at 877-500-5266 or go online on the web, kboo.fm/give.
You will be part of a solidarity family that keeps sort of stays in touch with each other and keeps us informed. And as part, you too can learn how to do radio. You can come on down here and take our free classes. You can help run the evening news. Where else can you do that? Only at KBOO.
Only at KBOO. We're going to be wrapping it up here, but do consider giving and calling us at 877-500-5266. We are multi-ethnic, multi-age, multi-gender. This is by the people, radio for the people. Thank you.
Thank you, Per. Thank you, Tave. This is KBOO Portland. It is indeed your community radio, and you are the community in community radio. That means it's time for you to step up. KBOO.fm/give by telephone at 877. Are you writing this down? 500-5266. We're going to hear about some of your friends and neighbors who've gotten involved in the way that makes sense for them, some important community announcements, and we're going to move on with an address given by, right here in Portland, at Powell's Books, by Michael Eric Dyson. It is called His Sermon for White America. So listen up.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the screening of The Brainwashing of My Dad, examining the influence of right-wing media on individuals and the nation. The screening takes place on Friday, February 10th at 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church in Portland. Jen Senko, who will be present at the screening, tries to understand the transformation of her father from a non-political, lifelong Democrat to an angry, right-wing fanatic, and asks questions about who owns the airwaves and what responsibility does the government have to keep the airwaves truly fair, accurate, and accountable to the truth. Again, The Brainwashing of My Dad, Friday, February 10th at 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church, 1211 Southwest Salmon Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO would like to thank our community partners that donated food for our volunteers today. Lunch was provided by Clyde Common, a diversely influenced European-style tavern with communal tables and cocktail bar. Located downtown at 1014 Southwest Stark Street, they offer small plates, main courses, and feasts from 3 p.m. to midnight, 7 days a week. Dinner was provided by Musubi, a Hawaiian rice ball shop on 21st and Southeast Division, providing various meats and meatless musubi options Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266.
And thank you to our community partners, feeding the volunteers who are taking your calls at 877-500-5266. And now, as promised, here is Michael Eric Dyson speaking at Powell's Books in Portland, The Sermon for White America.
Easier to bear. You won't regret it.
thank PALS, first of all, for hosting us here tonight, and for all of you for coming out, and Dr. Jennifer Wiley for breaking it off in such a powerful fashion. I'm learning stuff now tonight I hadn't even heard from her in a decade. So this is already worth the price of the ticket. And it's so honest and so searing and so powerful. And she's right, that kind of calculus that once people who are in a majority culture are put in a minority culture, what kind of things you have to think about that you don't ordinarily think about is a brilliant way into thinking about people of color always making those adjustments. So that Obama always has to go, pause, think, or he used to. calculating what is the consequence of every syllable uttered. Now, black people may not be, brown people may not be, red, yellow, the rainbow colors may not be that conscious of the consequence of their verbal interventions and what they think and say and do and behave, but that is a metaphor for what you have to do, the interior work you have to reflect on. So I thank Dr. Wiley for that. Yeah, this is a very personal book, you know. I'm not saying that scholars can hide behind statistics and analyses, but if you want to say it, it's fine. That we engage in some serious reflection on ideas that's very important. I got a little chip on my shoulder about the scholarly guild because people are always throwing off,
you ain't got to have a PhD.
Oh, okay, cool, get one, right? Just get one, what does that mean? Right, especially in our community, communities of color where we need every brain on deck, every rhetorical hand on deck, and we need people committed to that. So even though we don't make a fetish of critical consciousness, you ain't better than nobody. At least respect that job. I respect the plumber. I respect the engineer. I respect the ditch digger. I respect the coach. And we ought to respect the thinkers and intellectuals when we find them, engage them. It doesn't mean you genuflect before the altar of their critical consciousness, but you want to appreciate what they're doing. And for the next 4 years, you're going to see how important that is. Because we went from a guy who reads books, literate, intellectual, engaged, even if you don't like his politics, even if you didn't dig what he was doing. But Machiko Kakatani at the New York Times is doing a long interview with him. I'm like, bro, where you get time to read books up in there anyway? Yeah. You're doing all that other stuff you're doing, a lot of it good, some of it well. And then you're reading science fiction and you're inviting your five best writers to the White House, Juno Diaz and, you know, Dave Eggers. You know, amazing. Then we got a guy who tweets. Okay? All right, I know y'all being political here. I get it. Yes, very quiet. Yeah, lot, y'all still standing? Oh, y'all shell shocked? Yeah, a lot of Trump supporters. Okay, that's great. I want the Trump supporters too. But we go from that to that, right? Not even about politics. I'm talking now about privilege. Because what person of color could ever be that incompetent and become president? Right? No, dog catcher. Right? Making up numbers. I believe that 4 or 5 million people just voted. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to start this way, but the spirit is moving. I'm sorry, I ain't even gonna start this way. Right? We ain't gonna talk about whiteness, just one white guy. Y'all can put it all on him. Come on, it's good. Yeah, it's his damn fault. What? The rest of us were great. Jiminy Cricket, it's that guy. And I'm with you. Because he done made a lot of white liberals who used to get, you know, criticized. Yeah, it's the white liberal. Where they at? Please, come back home. White liberals, please come home. Right? So, back to the lecture at hand. So, yeah, it's a difficult, y'all kind of hard up in here. I don't know, y'all. This Wednesday, what, this is Tuesday night, Wednesday night. I mean, Jennifer Wiley had already started by turn to your neighbor. People in church know what that is and say, neighbor? All right. But it was difficult because you got to tell personal stories. You got to expose yourself to that trauma and partly what it means to be what you are as a principal. is to hold things at bay. You can't let them see you sweating too much or feeling too much or too empathetic, because it might take you down, because you see some of the agony your students have to go through. Mm-hmm. And so what it is meant to be me is to keep that at bay, so that the way in which it has traumatized me, the way in which it has hurt me, the way in which I look at my people or people of color or other vulnerable populations and see the devastation they must endure, and yet what I must do is concentrate on this sentence, that paragraph, this paper, that book, this class, in order to keep at bay the absurdity and the devastation that marauds on communities, parades through them, trounces upon people's souls. So in this case, I had to join the Amen Corner and bear witness, and to ask white brothers and sisters to do the same. You know, I figure I take my hat off, you take yours off. I show you mine, you show me yours. That is so. Yeah. Nothing else, we don't want to, thank you for your contribution, but that's not really what we want to see here, right? We don't want to grab anything but some insight. Thank you. If you laugh at my jokes, it's going to go much better. Let you know. And so, you know, I told stories about my family, about my kids facing racism, about me getting beat by the police. And sometimes, you know, I just, I say to myself, I know if white brothers and sisters understood, like, you do everything the right way, the way they say you're supposed to do it, and you still don't gain entree, you still don't get accepted, you still don't get treated the way that your behavior has deserved. Now, in certain circles, we talk about the politics of respectability, that we're trying to convince white brothers and sisters that we're worthy of good behavior, of good treatment by being well-behaved and dressing the right way, and it still don't make no difference, right? It makes not a hill of difference, ultimately, because on any given night, the arbitrary will and the capricious and whimsy of the caprice and whimsy of a certain kind of racial calculus might roll up on you, and a policeman who knows nothing of your dignity or your intelligence or your education or your pedigree, or that you're a good person and that you're a father selling CDs on the street because that's what you've been forced to do, and you're hustling because you don't want to ask for a handout, so you want to make a way yourself. This is the American way, the way of hustling. A Pulitzer Prize winning historian said that the central character of the American collective drama and pageant of democracy is the hustler, right? And he said that about folk two centuries ago. Jay-Z has simply updated it. When the Remy is in the system. Ain't no telling, will I love them or will I diss them? That's what they be yelling. I'm a by blood, not reload some. Y'all still chase some. I save the narrative, you saving it for marriage, Ma. Let's be real, you saving it for carriage. Excuse me, that's a bit of black intersectionality right here. Sorry for that.
All right, we are here again. Guess what? We're asking you to send us some money to keep this wonderful programming on the air. Give us a call at 877-500-5266 or kboo.fm. And we found out that Michael Eric Dyson has got a book out.
It's called Tears We Cannot Stop, A Sermon to White America. And we have 5 copies that we can give away to you as a thank you gift for your minimum pledge of $75. It retails for $25. So you're going to get this wonderful book and know that you are making a difference. You can call us at 877-500-5266 or go online to kboo.fm/give and make your donation of $75, or better still, make it a recurring monthly donation that computes out to $6.25 a month.
That's easy. That's easy.
It's like, sure, a couple cups of coffee,
mm-hmm,
really.
Mm-hmm.
You can make a difference.
One cup of fancy coffee.
This is true. One smoothie. And KBOO is, we're celebrating the potential for cultural exchange and inclusivity here in Portland. We do this in a way that other stations are unable to duplicate. KBOO is a way to connect with the people around you. And that's maybe people that you're going to see regularly and people that you maybe normally wouldn't see regularly. You're going to get perspectives from all of the different walks of Portland. You are going to be a part of this community and a part of community radio. Do it now by picking up the phone, making your $75 donation or $6.25 a month. Call us at 877-500-5266.
Or come on down at 20 Southeast 8th. Meet all the people here at KBOO who put this programming on the air. We are one big extended family. Mm-hmm. All kinds of folks down here. I'll tell you, I've been here a while. KBOO has been an education for me. And you can always keep finding out something new at KBOO, 877-500-5266 or online kboo.fm. Get a copy of this book, Tears We Cannot Stop, for a $75 minimum pledge, and we just got five copies left, so get in line, folks. Do it now.
We'd love to hear the phone rings. Get involved today and make a commitment. Participate in your radio station and in your community. Per, you've got a program that you do every other week.
I do a show called Fight the Empire, which has been on now for about 5 years, and I don't think you'll hear anything like it anywhere else. Yes. That's what KBOO is all about.
Right.
All kinds of shows on KBOO you do not hear on any other, not even on the public stations.
That's right. We also have podcasts. You can go mm-hmm. to KBOO, KBOO.fm, and / Peace, Love, and Soup. My friend Brian Delaney and I have a soup podcast. There's many podcasts on there that you don't even hear on regular radio, and you don't even hear them on KBOO. They're web only. We have a multitude of programming for all walks of life. We want to educate you. We want to hold your hand. We want to be a part of this new world that we are going to make together, better together. And you can be a part of it. Donate $75 for this book by calling 877-500-5266 or on the web, kboo.fm.
Or come on down and see us, see where your money is going, meet the friendly folks here at KBOO, and just see radio in action. This is a 24/7 operation.
Yeah.
There's always something interesting on KBOO, whether it's news and public affairs or music or whatever. 877-500-5266. Do it now and join the family.
Regardless of what you achieve, that in any given moment it could be reduced. You could meet a policeman on the street, and at that interaction, that violent, vicious, fear-filled interaction, you could lose your life. Mm. Is whiteness that treasurable and cherishable that it is worth the loss of life of people of color? Right? The innocence of whiteness, the obliviousness of whiteness, that's part of its privilege, not to know that it's white. And I knew, I said, man, I don't want to write a book like that. White folk get mad. And I've gotten plenty of, you know, emails already from people reading the book, you know. Some of which are great, I love you, thank you. Most of which, you know what it is. Nigger, go back to where you came from. I'm from Detroit, I don't really want to go back there. Love the D.
What up?
West Side, but not right now. So that's where I'm from, sir, ma'am, and please call me Professor Nigger. I worked hard for what I'm doing up here. So I get all the nastiness, the hate, you know, and you know, you don't want to read it. I mean, you get caught off guard. It's somebody writing you some fan mail. And after a while, right, is it really this deep? And a lot of white brothers and sisters, oh, those are just the exceptions. That's not the rule. That doesn't represent something that's deeper and more deeply rooted, but many of you know, yeah, it is. You don't want to have to get put on the spot. You go to Thanksgiving dinner with Granny. You are yourself, to be redundant, a Black Lives Matter supporter. Granny's breaking off nigger. And what do? How do you negotiate that? Do you jump on Granny? Not before the turkey is served. I recommend... Let Granny give you the stuffing first. Or the sweet potato, excuse me, the pumpkin pie. Oh, come on, come on, come on, man. Work with me. These jokes are not easy. So, how do white folk bear witness to other white people? And how do white people who know the truth not tell it? And you know when you see black folk and they're being made to look stupid by people whose investment in whiteness is so deep that they don't even want to recognize what we already know, that stuff is far more pervasive than we're willing to acknowledge, and it's scary. So sometimes white people don't even want to acknowledge it, not because they're mean or bad, they just like, damn, it makes us look bad. We don't want to acknowledge it. I get it, but it's people, there are some people who have to acknowledge it because they live in the consequence of that knowledge, and they live on the edge where knowledge of whiteness is survival. So the things that we intuitively know, because we've had to, as Fannie Lou Hamer, the great activist, said, the mistake white people made is that they put us behind them. So we have to learn whiteness for survival. We know when white folk mad or when they're feeling good. We know when payday gonna be a blessing or when it's gonna be tough. When people are gonna give you a job or not, we can feel it. Now we ain't 100% right, right? But we get that intuition that is generated out of existential engagement. So all of this stuff I wanted to communicate, it ain't scientific, it's not sociological, it's not empirical, right? I look out there and I saw a million people. I mean, we got Bruce Willis as the president. I see dead people. I see millions, and they love me. I'm no longer the apprentice, you're fired, right? But I don't want to be condescending. I ain't trying to throw stuff at you from a pulpit. I want to get into the mess, the muck and mire with you and try to figure our way out of this. Can we at least be honest? Can white brothers and sisters be called upon? Because you're not often called upon to tell that kind of truth, to get uncomfortable at that level, to reveal. I'm not saying you've never been in discomfort. That's not what I'm saying. But not as a routine. That's why the way, and I didn't even know Dr. Wiley was going to start that way. That's a revealing and honest moment of what whiteness does, the privileges it confers and bestows, the nervousness and anxieties too, because white folk got nervousness and anxiety too about the issue of race. How do we talk? Are we sounding like all the things you said? Are we appropriate? Are we Justin Timberlake-ing? Because Justin Timberlake, one of the great geniuses of modern sound, there's no question about that, so I don't think he's appropriating as much as experimenting within the form. The genre, give him that love, right? Eminem is not appropriating, he's extending a tradition that he inherited, right? But even Justin Timberlake, when it came time to acknowledge that he done pulled the breastplate off of Janet Jackson, then he retreated into whiteness. I'm not a black guy, I just play one on TV, right? Don't punish me. Janet, we ain't heard from Janet since then. She couldn't even get it. We could hardly hear from her, right? Right, it's tough love, but not always. I'm using beloved throughout, so I'm saying nice thing. I'm not saying, hey, you, because it's important. You gotta treat people with respect and decency. You gotta model what you wanna see come back at you, right? You gotta reflect it, but you gotta tell the truth as much as you can. And see, women always have to hear the truth, right? People of color always have to hear the truth. They get up in the morning before they put their eyeliner on, before they put their eyelashes on, right? Before they put on their makeup. I say a little prayer. Okay, I'm sorry. So, come on now, that's your generation. That's Aretha Franklin. Get with it. See, we gotta do the millennials, right? We're like, oh, y'all ain't got the only music. Right, we got stuff y'all don't know either. So, before we get ready in the morning, we're hearing the bombardment of Fox News telling people how undeserving we are, of how ridiculous we are, laughing at us and scandalously assaulting us rhetorically. That's just before we get out the house. So it's tough sometimes for white brothers and sisters to hear that coming at them. And so I want to say it in ways that are, you see, I'm a humorous guy. People see I'm on TV, they think I'm a monster. Not like monster, just monster. Like, but the difference being one is a creation of an intentionality that is subversive in the worst sense of the word, and another one in the sense that you're doing your thing the right way. But what's interesting, of course, is that there are insides where the bleeding occurs. And that love that goes out comes from understanding what it means to bleed. And if black people and brown and red and yellow people, if people of the rainbow, indigenous people, First Nations people, Latinos, Latinas, and African Americans, or black people across the diaspora, often understand how difficult it is for white brothers and sisters to come to a sense where they can acknowledge privilege, acknowledge innocence, acknowledge obliviousness, acknowledge the ability to not know, and yet not pay a price for it. That kind of love seems tough, seems harsh, but it's got to be engaged.
Well, we are here to ask you for money to keep this wonderful programming on the air. Keep this station on the air for another, we've been on for 49 years now.
Going on
we're
50.
Going for 50, and it's all because of you people who are part of the radio community. Give us a call, 877-500-5266.
Make your $20 a month donation. You can go online to kboo.fm and click the red donate button. We have a very easy way for you to have an automatic deduction of $20 a month. It's simple. It's secure. For $20 a month, you can get a hoodie. It's only available for donators. It's not something you can come in and buy. And KBOO connects listeners to values and commitments to this unheard and underrepresented and all of the underrepresented perspectives in Portland and around the world. KBOO stands for critical thinking and a revolutionary approach to media. It's desperately needed, and we desperately need your help. Your support of KBOO, it means that you can help us continue to bring this kind of programming to those who listen, both on the radio as well as on the web. Call us at 877-500-5266 and make your $20 donation.
Or kboo.fm. Do it that way, or you can come on down here and see us at 20 Southeast 8th. Just come on and visit us, have a cup of coffee. And
just a little south of Burnside on 8th.
That's right. Lovely little building with a mural on front, and friendly people here, nice hot coffee on a cold day, and just become welcome to the family. And you can just see how the station operates and see where your money is going. You know, it's not spent very lavishly.
Right. And if you're new, you know, you'll know that it's not spent lavishly when you come down. But even if you want to just pick up the phone and make that call, that is a way of getting involved. You can get involved with your time the way Per and I do. You could get involved with money, but you can get involved with programming. Make that commitment today. I would like to encourage all of you who are listeners who have not supported in the past to do it today. Make that commitment. Pick up your phone and dial 877-500-5266. Make a $20 donation, recurring month to month. If that's something you honestly cannot do, make a one-time $20 donation. That's still a membership, and it's appreciated.
You know, there are other stations that do have members, but there's no other radio station where you can actually help run the station.
True.
You can come on down here. Not only are you a member, you can vote for the board, you can run for the board, you can serve on committees that help do all the daily work of this station. There's lots of things you can do. You can take classes in radio production and news writing and all kinds of things. There are people here who started out here, mm-hmm. and they've gone on to more lucrative work. Well, we wish them well, but they
yeah.
they got their start here at KBOO, and that's one thing we do. We have our community is bigger than you think. We are everywhere.
We sure are, and you can be a part of it by calling 877-500-KBOO or 877-500-5266. Make your donation, $20 a month. That will get you a hoodie, and it's a really nice hoodie too, and we have your size. We have all of the sizes. So give us a call. We want to keep you warm in these cold times. You could also go online to kboo.fm, hit that red donate button, or you can come in and say hey to us. But $20 a month, if you think about it as, you know, the equivalent of a couple hours of pay, it's really a small amount to ask for keeping free speech and free radio alive.
And all sorts of information, speakers you don't hear elsewhere. I mean, I think half the programs on KBOO, you will not find them anywhere else in this country. They are unique, and you are part of the you're part of the community that brings this to fruition. And so it starts out with a simple phone call, 877-500-5266. That's the way you start out, by becoming a member, and you can just go on from there. You can take it as far as you want.
We've got another half hour of Michael Eric Dyson, and we have a book of his, Tears We Cannot Stop, A Sermon to White America. So if you call today, if you make that $20 a month pledge I'm talking about, you could have the hoodie, or you could have his book, which is Tears We Cannot Stop, A Sermon to White America. And that's the type of programming you get through Community Radio and KBOO, 877-500-5266 or kboo.fm.
Do it now. Keep the station on the air. It is your radio station.
Toni Morrison said, "Can I criticize what I love?" We have to, right? It's like saying, "I love my kids and therefore I don't criticize them." There ain't no mamas I know. Or no daddies I know, right? And we know how tough it is. Black people know how tough it is, for instance, as one of many other ethnicities and races. We know, we had a president for 8 years. We want, don't say nothing bad about him. Right? I don't know if we even ready to admit that now. Look at the black silence. Right? Because we were upset when, because so many right-wing white folk are trying to kill him every day, that we don't want to add to his burdens, and we ain't saying nothing. Right? Barack Obama today slipped on a banana peel. He meant to do that. He was practicing for a Pee Wee Herman movie. Yeah. Come on, time rubber, your glue, everything you say bounces off to me and sticks to you. I meant to do that. Pee Wee's a genius. I'm sorry you're missing it. He's a genius, right? All right, go back and look at Pee Wee's Playhouse, all right? From a certain lens, not another one. So we really couldn't acknowledge that Obama was a human being who had frailties, because everybody else was trying to dog him every day, the right wing and conservatives. But the reality is, you ain't Jesus, you're not, you know, Buddha, you're not Muhammad, you're a human being. But we can't even afford to acknowledge it, because to acknowledge it is to become complicit in the very derision of him that had become so explosive. We have a man sitting in the White House now who spent 2 years doubting his humanity. Sorry, I just wanted to wake you up. Questioning who he is as a human being. How dare you? Your manifest mediocrity, your incapacity, your incomprehensible incompetence, your inability to engage gerunds and participles that dangle. Infinitives, split ends like split hairs, not resolved rhetorically. Right? And yet you doubted, show me his grades, show me the school that gave you the diploma. Right? When we look at the fact that we can't acknowledge Obama's frailties because we exist in a culture where his haters were so deep and thick that to acknowledge his humanity was to question his legitimacy, that's an awful tough choice, because those can't be the only two choices. So when we ask white brothers and sisters to think critically, we understand how tough it is. We understand how tough it is to acknowledge limitation. And so this is a book motivated by love. I want to reach out to white brothers and sisters to say, hey, but we got to do it. It's tough, but you got to do it. It may not be you, but it could be your brother or sister, your mother, your aunt, your uncle, and maybe it is you. Maybe it's you, even in the Pacific Northwest, though I love the liberal feeling I get when I come here. In Seattle last night, in here, I gotta tell you, it's a relief. You know, because you know what it means to be white too. You can move to Idaho or Seattle. I ain't saying ain't no difference, but it ain't, you ain't threatening. Your life don't feel threatened, right? I go to Idaho, I'm like, can I get out tonight? No disrespect to Idaho if you're from there. Potatoes are great, but what I'm saying to you, I was in Idaho one night, and a guy came up to me, he was serious too, he wasn't even joking. He said, you think you can tell that kind of truth and really remain alive? Guy asked me that, and he was serious. Now, I get death threats, and you know, you get all this stuff. Everybody's in public life, all of us, that ain't unique. But, you know, I thought about Dr. King, who had to deal with that every day. Ain't got no bodyguards, he ain't got no Secret Service. So what it means to be a person of color, you know, to be Dr. King, you can just be somebody who's just trying to live his or her life, and then you feel threatened and vulnerable because of what whiteness has done collectively and historically. It has metastasized as a diseased entity for so many people, including white brothers and sisters, yourselves, quote, themselves. And so that's why I begin the book, is it is an invention, it's not real. Race is not real. In the sense of, you ain't born with it, like you got a hair color, check. You know, the physical characteristics, the heritable characteristics, the Mendelian, Darwinian. Okay, Alfred Wallace will shout him out. He was trying to get there at the same time. It was just a little bit late. Remember that? Alfred Wallace, you know what I'm saying? Oh, y'all are so literate. That's very good. That's very good. And so then along comes race. Where does race come from? The society in which you live gives meaning to it. It ain't something you're born with. It's not an inheritance of genes or blouses. Okay, I'm really not going to go along with this inability to acknowledge my comedic. So you don't get it in your genes. You don't inherit this. This is something the society tells you is good or bad, right or wrong, beautiful or not. And so it's an invention. And like all inventions, it has its consequences and it has its origins. And we can pinpoint it and talk about when it started and what its worth is. But so our investment in it is not something that's a natural thing, but we've been taught that it's natural. And whiteness has been rendered invisible. The reason so many white brothers and sisters look at black people or brown or red or yellow people is like, why are you people, you know, I get this all the time, why are you so obsessed with race? Why are you obsessed with race? And they don't get it. Like, this is an invention and a creation that we have to bear the burden of it. We have to bear the burden of that invention because that invention has been imposed upon us with traumatic effect. Mm. And so now it's been created, and yes, we have fancy terms in the academy. Race is a social construct. This building is socially constructed too. If it falls on you, it will kill you. So just because we recognize it ain't something that is born with you, it doesn't mean it doesn't gather consequence and power and force and velocity and intensity and death dealing. And so we're obsessed with it because we are forced to be obsessed with it every minute. Obama just wants to be president. He don't want to, he just, you know, yes I can. It's great. And then people be killing people and they asking him questions. He's like, damn, not again. I just want to talk about the economy. I just want to talk about, you know, fair housing. I just want to talk about, you know, getting the economy set up again. I just want to, and then this stuff happens. So race is a construction and an invention that, even though it's not rooted in reality, ultimately you're not born with it, it does have consequence. Mr. Cab Driver, please don't keep passing me by. Race is a social construction. I'm a figment of your imagination, Edgar Allan Poe, projected onto your collective unconsciousness to mix Joyce and Poe. I want you to think I'm sloppy with my literary references and allusions. Right? So now we have to deal with the fact that if it's invented, then we want to ask white brothers and sisters to stop being white. Oh my God, that's tough. I'm not asking you not to be human. I'm just asking you not to invest in that collective, colossal infamy. The ultimate fake news is white supremacy. Right? Fake news? Alternate facts? Oh my God. I mean, God gave us Donald Trump to show us the invidious consequences of a collective sense of whiteness projected into the world. Right? Just in time for my book. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. When I get this Oscar, I want to thank God. No, literally, God, who gave us a sense of how this is invented. And so what I wanted to do is to ask people, through humor, you see what I'm trying to do? You see what I'm trying to do? It's tough, it's hard, to ask people to think introspectively and to reflect upon privilege that even you didn't ask for but still have. And even poor white people say, wait a minute, you're a rich professor from Georgetown? Well, I'm at least a professor from Georgetown. Trying to get rich. And your kids, you know, probably have a better shake in life than mine. Maybe so, true. And I think that inequality among white people should be reduced, but not at the expense of. It has nothing to do with race. And black people getting some stuff, we ain't running nothing. Okay. How many presidents who were black have there been that we knew about? I know black people always come to me. There have been six. Bruh, if we didn't know they were black, it don't count. Because nobody knew, right? It's like we've had seven women presidents and we didn't know. If we didn't know, right? Because we saw what they did to Hillary. We saw the vicious sexism that never gained recognition in the public square. She's just trying to answer. Dude is hovering all over her. Like he the Incredible Hulk. I'm sorry, that was just an extra. And so when we think about this, asking white brothers and sisters to interrogate, to be introspective, to ask what it might mean, we're asking you to take off that kind of innocence and that kind of privilege, because even those poor white brothers and sisters who say, hey, you're a professor, let me tell you the ultimate white privilege, to engage with a cop and still live. Mm. You ain't got to have no money to do that. Because you could be rich and black and lose your life. You could be rich and white and lose your life. I'm not saying you can't lose your life to the cops. I'm talking about statistics and probability, right? And so when white brothers and sisters say to them also, hey, why are you people so concerned about, like, police brutality? This is really Giuliani told me on Meet the Press. Most of you kill each other. Most people who die are killing each other. So forget the police. That's a small percentage. Okay, let's take that number. First of all, 93% of black people who are murdered by black people. True. 84% of white people who are murdered by white people. We ain't got no white on white crime narrative. I don't see people on TV, oh my God, this white on white crime is just devastating. God damn it, what are we gonna do? Gary is killing Billy. And it's tough out here, right? We have no pathology of whiteness. I mean, except now we do the poor white trash, y'all. We do do that. Hillbilly Elegy, we read J.D. Vance, we know, right? We understand. Read, though, White Trash by Nancy Eisenberg, who wrote a brilliant book on Aaron Burr, yeah. And then this book, right? So when you think about, you know, we do demonize by class. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying the way in which there is this concern about whiteness as whiteness, in general, because there are distinctions made. Oh, those are not the real white people. Or those are not the best white people, right? Oh, those white who produce, I don't know, a genius like, say, Hank Williams. I'm glad Bob Dylan won a Nobel Prize for literature. What's up, Bob? Hey. But I mean, Hank, you don't tell me Hank Williams didn't deserve one? Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How about cooking something up with me? Hey, sweet baby. Come on, man. Come on, man. I mean, come on. Are you telling me some of them, you know, artists in the country music don't deserve it? All my exes live in Texas. That's why I live in Tennessee. If I'd have killed you when I met you, I'd have been out of jail by now? Oh, that's a classic. That's a classic. Waylon Jennings, George Jones, he stopped loving her today. He ain't tell you the reason he stopped loving her, because he's dead. Right? But it's brilliant, right? The use of parody and signifying and the sense of self-deprecation that is stitched into the drama of the rhetoric itself. So I'm saying that there are distinctions made, but we're not wringing our hands over what a great impact Miley Cyrus is having through twerking on white America, right? But we're concerned about it for black people thinking that it represents the entire space of who we are. The Real Housewives of America, right? Yeah. And so we don't think about it in the same way. And beyond that, the reality is, let's apply Rudy Giuliani's logic then. Let's see, how many people have died from terror in the last few years after 9/11? Maybe 100, a little bit more? So based upon his logic, why are y'all so obsessed with terror?
There you go.
Why are you worried about ISIS and Al-Qaeda? Yeah. It's not Muhammad, it's Billy Bob. Who's doing you in, right?
You're listening to KBOO Portland. I'm Tave, and I'm here with Pear, and we're on our fun drive.
That's right. Fun and funds. That's we want more of both. And we get a lot of fun by listening to phones ring. And so we would like you to call 877-500-5266. Lay some money on us or go on your line at kboo.fm. keep the station going.
Mm-hmm. If you give us your support, then we can keep providing free and experimental radio with innovative and engaging topics. And if you can pick up the phone and dial 877-500-5266 and make a donation of $6.25 a month, which equals $75 a year, we've got a book for you. It is called Tears We Cannot Stop: A Sermon to White America by Michael Eric Dyson, the gentleman that you have been listening to now. And it's just a $75 pledge. It's our way of saying thank you to you. And for you to say thank you to us, you can just call 877-500-5266, say thanks for providing community radio for us, or go online. How do we do that, Pear?
Well, 877-500-5266 or KBOO.FM. You know, Michael Eric Dyson was speaking here in Portland at Powell's.
I hear the phone ring.
There we go. He was speaking at Powell's, and you know, we're really fortunate to have Powell's because they have so many authors come to Portland to give little talks, you know, like every night. You know, at downtown Powell's, mm-hmm. or the one on Hawthorne, or out in Beaverton. So we have all these authors, and sometimes they like to be interviewed, and
true.
We get to interview them.
And they're the largest independent bookstore, I believe. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just the type of wonderful thing we have here in Portland, mm-hmm. Just like our community radio station, KBOO 90.7 FM. And you are partnering with us when you pick up the phone and call us and make your donation today. You can be a part of making this wonderful programming be available to everybody. And we have great things like you're listening to now. We have news and public affairs, but also, like Michael Eric Dyson has been talking about, we have music. We've got lots of music and different varieties, different genres, day or night. And you can keep making that happening by keep making that happen by calling. Yay! Hey, there's another one.
Another one. Yes.
877-500-5266. Daniel in Vancouver just renewed, and we'd like to thank you.
You know, speaking of music, our music will be coming on pretty soon, and we have a record library that has got so many different records. It's bulging at the seams.
We still play LPs here.
We have all kinds of everything from Afropop to Zydeco, you know, all kinds of music. If you don't hear on KBOO, it doesn't exist, you know. we have wonderful jazz on Wednesdays. We have all kinds of folk music. We have all kinds of world music, everything you want. It's here at KBOO. So give us a call, 877-500-5266.
$75.
$75 for
that
book.
Get you that book. $6.25 a month. It's easy. It's renewable. It's secure. And it's something you won't even have to think about. It'll just come right out of your bank account. Or pop in person. Give us cash. If you don't even want a paper trail, we could say hey to you and show you around. And if you've got homeschool kids, bring them on down. If you have elders in your family and you want to go on an outing, come on down. We're here for all ages, all backgrounds. A community-supported radio, 877-500-5266, kboo.fm/give, or KBOO, and hit the donate button.
Men's lives matter too. Why are you obsessed? Why are you obsessed with Muslims? It's Christians who are doing most of the killing. Right? So by that logic, that's what we say. Now, we know it's more complicated than that. We know what borders are and nations, and we know this will to deny and kill, but black people and brown people and other people of color think that rogue cops, not all of them, have been like ISIS. Think about Jay-Z. Back then, back when, the police were Al-Qaeda to black men. Right? Cocaine was anthrax, he said. So we know what it, and you might think, oh my God, how dare you appropriate the notion of terror and apply it to black people? How dare you take the history of slavery with its multiple, multifaceted terrors and horrors and reduce them to a mere moment of being visited upon by brutality? Because terror is will, as fast as slow. Bombs dropping fast, terror. Slow terror, kids getting expelled from school before the age of 9. Then being put on a pathway to go from detention to jail and jail to prison for the same crimes that little Johnny and Sally commit, but they are talked to differently. I was the other day out in front of Ben's Chili Bowl. Y'all know anybody been to DC? Anybody know Ben's Chili Bowl? Yes, ma'am. Okay, we got an amen over here. She's falling out from the Holy Ghost as we speak. Now, Ben's Chili Bowl is an eatery in DC, famous. I was out there about 4:30 one morning. Why, Dyson, were you there at 4:30? Because I was doing an ethnographic study of the bacchanalia of young people and their partying habits. I am a participant observer. So, I'm out there. White kid is cussing the cops out. Mother! Kids here, can't say it. Baby. This and that. And I said, oh my God, they're gonna kill him. And then I said, oh no, they won't. He's a white kid. And this is what I heard the police say. Son, it's clear that you're inebriated. You need to go home. Can we get that? That's all we want. That at the end of the day, what they say in the Middle East, the quiet miracle of a normal life. That's all we want, to be treated as human. Black Lives Matter, too. We forgot to add that part. Y'all mad. My God, white lives matter. We know they do. We get it. You ain't got to tell us. That's like in a patriarchal culture, you're going, you know, women's lives matter. Men's lives matter too. We get it! That's why we're allowed to continue to act predatorily. Right? Ain't no word, but in a predatory fashion, that's better. To act in a predatory fashion toward women, because we know men's lives matter, because they are exempt and exonerated to begin with, from the beginning, because they can throw a ball or catch one. Right? So black lives matter too. When you're an adult, and if you say children's lives matter, but adult lives matter too, we get that! Because adults cuss while kids are sleeping. We get adult lives matter, but do babies' lives matter? Do children's lives matter? They matter also. That's what we're saying. Black lives matter too. Because we look around, we don't see you thinking it's 3/5 human. You didn't think they mattered then. Right? Jim Crow, Jane Crow, you didn't think they mattered then. Jim Crow 2.0, and now we're still afraid? The first people we have to convince they matter to is to black people ourselves. Yes. Yeah. Right? Because we want to make distinctions. Gay people over here, lesbians over there, queer people over here, poor people over here, some of the smartest people we know, and some of the most famous, Bill Cosby, going around the country telling us how messed up. Thank you, baby, for saving me. How messed up black people are. We can do it to ourselves as well as white people can. This is the internalized racism and white supremacy that we then articulate like a ventriloquist, right? Black mouth moving, white racist sensibility speaking. So Bill Cosby's going around, and the people with the thing and yellow. Come on, that's good. Come on, come on. He's out there excoriating young black people, dropping Mickey's on women. Okay. Allegedly. Let me say allegedly. I said so. Allegedly. Right? Be careful about what the Bible says. The grave you dig with somebody else, you might fall in it.
All right.
And so we did this ourselves. We remonstrated morally among ourselves, but we live in a culture then where race's invention has had consequence. And those who are in dominant positions are not often asked to think about those who are subordinate. Mm-hmm. Whether you're a man versus being a woman, whether you are a person of color versus being white, whether you are straight versus being not straight, and even that way to formulate it means that the normal identity is straight. You know, people come up to me, hey, even among black people,
they chose to be gay. I didn't choose to be black.
Well, trust me when I tell you, some people have opted out being black.
Okay.
Yeah. I ain't calling no names, Clarence. I mean, I'm not calling no names. Sorry. I didn't mean to say that. I'm sorry. I got racial Tourette's. Ben Carson. We know he's a famous physician from Detroit, right? Separated those twins. Separate yourself from that stuff that you're doing now, right? So people do opt out, but is that how it goes? You choose to be gay? Is that, what did you choose to be straight? What were you, 12 years old, went to your mother? Hey, look, I've looked at the options. Right? That inordinate resistance and fear. So if there's homophobia and femophobia against women, there's racophobia too, isn't it? There's some phobia of consciousness and introspection. That's what's going on. I've over-answered the brilliant assessment that Dr. Wiley made, but yes, it's invented, people invest in it, they derive benefit from it, and yet to be acknowledged is a difficult path to go. But in love, I'm asking white brothers and sisters to think about it.
Right, that's what we have to talk about.
What's the carpenter, Yeezy, lay beats, hobo flow, the Holy Ghost, get the hell up out your seats, preach. Human beings
and alive. You're listening to KBOO Portland, and we are different, and we're proud of that. We are a homemade, handcrafted radio, and we are here for the community and by the community. And anything that you would like to hear that's not on the air already, you could make happen by coming down here and volunteering your time, or just giving us your input, or by donating your money. Right now, we are hoping you will give us a call at 877-500-5266 and make a donation. We'd like it to be a recurring donation. $20 a month donation will get you a hoodie. We have all of the sizes, so we have your size. Call 877-500-5266 or kboo.fm/give on the web. Tell us, Per, who's just been calling in.
Oh, boy. Well, I want to thank Terry from Portland, who is a new member. I want to thank Frank from Yamhill, who is renewing. And Terry from Portland, who is renewing. Woo! So I want to thank you one and all. We only have a couple $100 to go. So.
And there was a gentleman named Michael who walked in and said hey to us and actually brought in cash. So
that is cool. That is really neat.
If you want to bring in cash, you can do that.
Or we'll take it.
We'll take a check, too. We actually will take checks. We're one of the few places that will, and we'll take it kindly and give you a smile and a receipt, and so you can make a tax-deductible donation. So all of these donations you make are tax-deductible if you want them to be, and so give us a call or come in or go online to the web, kboo.fm. Make your recurring donation of $20 a month. That's $240 a year. You could make it in one lump sum or just 20 a month, and you will get a hoodie. And if we have any of this book left, Tears We Cannot Stop, A Sermon to White America, you could have that instead. You take your pick.
Do it now, and you can make your contribution, become part of the KBOO family, and all the rest of the year, you can listen to all the great news and public affairs and music on KBOO, and you think, hey, that is my radio station. I help pay for that. That is, this is my listening. This is my education.
That's
so
right.
Do it now. 877-500-5266.
If you want to hear different points of view and you want to hear the points of view of people that matter, real truths coming from the area where you live or from a part of the world that will actually just freeform tell you the truth without corporate sponsorship, without government involvement, that is KBOO, kboo.fm/give. You can make your contribution of $20 a month. You could give us a call at 877-500-5266 and know that you are making community radio happen. We've got some thank you gifts for you. And it's a wonderful time. We've had the phones ringing continuously here during this last hour, and it's really warmed my heart.
It's something, you know, this is the ultimate do-it-yourself project.
It is.
You don't need corporations to give you radio. You don't need the government to give you radio. You can get a bunch of people and raise some money, and you can do it yourself. We have been doing it ourselves now for 49 years. It works, folks. It really works when you get people behind you and people working together. KBOO is a living example of that. So become part of this do-it-yourself family. 877-500-5266. Give us a call. Come on down and see us at 20 South East 8th, or just go online, kboo.fm. There's so many ways that you can give, and you just become part of this family. Come on down here, learn how to do radio yourself. You can be a radio person.
You can, just yes. like Perrin and I are. We're just doing our stuff pitching, but we also do programming as well.
We weren't born that way. We had to learn it somewhere, you know, and that's what KBOO does. It not only teaches and it reaches. So
it nurtures.
Yeah. Oh, very much so. Yes. Become part of this nurturing family, you know, KBOO.FM or 877-500-5266. Give us a call. Do it now. You'll never regret it.
The airwaves, they're a part of the common treasury, and they belong to all of us. Make sure and keep this kind of radio going for the next generation. They deserve a break. Let's give them something to look forward to. Positive change in the world. Positive change can happen when you pick up that phone and make a $20 donation. One time, if that's all you can do, that'll get you a membership for the year. Or if you can do $20 a month, you can get a hoodie or a book. We have some wonderful thank you gifts. And 877-500-5266 will put you with a live person, not a recording, not a robot. They will ask for your name, they'll give you their name, and you can just let them know that you support community radio and why.
Yes. Well, we are a living example of what people working together can do. We can educate each other, we can entertain each other, we can just sort of spread all kinds of positive feelings throughout our community. 877-500-5266. Do it now, you'll never regret it.
You won't regret it. And we'd like to thank everybody who's already made their donation. And if you have not donated yet, I'd like to encourage you to pick up the phone, pick up a pen and write a check, walk down here, bike down here, whatever way makes you happy. But make your donation today to KBOO, KBOO.FM.
And 877-500-5266. However you do it, at whatever level, the important thing is that you get involved, because this is your community radio and it happens with your involvement. This is KBOO Portland. It's 12 noon. We're going to switch gears from our news and public affairs special to a whole bunch of really great music that is possible to bring to you because of your involvement, because of your support. We're going to hear about some of our other friends and neighbors who've gotten involved in a way that makes sense to them. And some important